This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. 105.3 The Fan, victorious this afternoon against the Reds out there in Cactus League action. Be back at it tomorrow, and we'll have a chat with Jared Sandler about it. What are we now? What, 22 days away? 22 days away from opening day right here on your home of the Rangers. It'll be a glorious Thursday afternoon against the Red Sox. And it's time now for Zach Wolchuk's proper round tripper. Here he goes around the bases.
Let's do it. We'll start with some observations from our buddy Sean McFarland, who's out there. He was at Goodyear for the game today. He talked about Tyler Mahle, who we did not get to see at all during spring last year as he was recovering from Tommy John surgery.
We did see him pitch, though, when we were there.
We did, yeah. He had two scoreless innings.
Yeah, yeah.
So today he goes four. Now, he's going through his first normal buildup as a member of the Rangers. So even his velocity with his fastball is something he's trying to get down. And Sean asked him about that. He said his four-seam fastball was running 89 to 90 miles per hour the first two innings. But then it got better as he was out there. So it climbed to 91, 92, eventually reaching 93.1 miles per hour in the third and fourth innings during the Rangers 5-3 win. Mahle said the first inning, even if I try to let it go, it just doesn't seem to go. It might just be a mental thing. Like, I'm trying to figure out where everything's going. As I get deeper into the game, you start to loosen up, get more comfortable, knowing I don't have to be so fine-tuned. The ball is just going to go wherever I want it to go. So he went a spring high 57 pitches today, allowed one run on two hits, two walks, three Ks. So overall, a good outing for Tyler Mahle, but he's continuing to kind of just figure out the velocity, the spin, the fastball for him. But it's great to see him really being healthy for the first time as a Ranger. He looked pretty good in three starts at the end of last year. But another big arm that the Rangers are hoping comes back, bounces back nicely for that starting rotation. Now, with Jacob DeGrom, we talked about him earlier. And we asked Jared, like, okay, what's the number of starts that you think if we can get this out of DeGrom? He said 25. Now, MLB Network was out there at Surprise, and they interviewed a couple of Rangers. We'll start with DeGrom, because, I mean, having been in there in the clubhouse, DeGrom just, he's not a media guy. Maybe it was the New York media ended turning him sour, but he's just not a big talker. So when you get to hear him speak, I think, you know, take notice. But this is how he's feeling and the plan for the upcoming season from Jake.
Feel good. You know, I think that was important for me last year to get out there for a few starts between rehab and three major league starts so I could treat the offseason like a normal offseason and get prepared to come in and help this team win this year.
And at this stage of your career, how do you see the management of getting you to the end of the year over 20 starts? Are we talking possibly a six-man rotation? Are we talking maybe spots, skipping starts here and there? How do you foresee it?
You know, I think that's something that's going to have to be discussed as the year goes on. You know, if you're feeling good, you hate to skip starts and stuff. You want to keep rolling out there. So it'll just be, you know, play it by ear as the year goes. And, you know, if there's a time where I need a day or something, maybe get an extra day in there. I think we have a lot of off days early on, so that might kind of take care of itself early in the season with all the off days we have.
Do I have permission to pick you for the AL Cy Young?
You have permission.
All right, good. I'm doing it.
I'm doing it too. Let's go. AL Cy Young for Jacob deGrom. But interesting there. He's kind of open to really all options.
Yeah, and I love it. I thought maybe the team would look at it like, we invested so much in this guy. We've only got 9 starts. We want him every fifth day.
Yeah,
you know, let's send him out there. This is what pitchers do. And, you know, I suggested you put him on a 10-day rotation. Yeah. This was like a month or so ago. And kind of it was in jest, but also like, hey, it probably makes sense for this guy. I'm excited that they are open-minded to it and not trying to force it into as many appearances as possible.
No
because
doubt.
It is an event when he's pitching out there at the stadium. And I as an owner, you could definitely see the difference. It's probably tens and tens of thousands of dollars.
The buzz, is unreal when you get a DeGrom day. There's no question. Now, we know Jacob DeGrom's not going to be starting opening day because Bruce Bochy said probably end up being on the back half of the rotation. So you had the Mets broadcast that was kind of taking shots at DeGrom for no reason because they were taking on Boston. Boston opens up against the Rangers. And I heard Chop played this earlier.
Was it? I think it was Boston's guys taking a shot at him.
Yeah, because of so they were playing the Mets,
right?
So they made a comment like, "Oh, it stinks because we got to go play them, and you want to play them in August because DeGrom's probably not going to be playing."
Right.
Well, honestly, he's probably not going to pitch against Boston anyway if he's in the back half of the rotation. It's going to be a 3-game series, so most likely DeGrom's going to start the second series of the season. So
he's going to be starting that Monday against the Reds.
You're probably not even going to get him. So for Boston, it was like, why are you sideswiping our guy? Here, go screw yourselves, right? I hope the Rangers sweep them to start the season. But I think the worst kept secret is who is going to start for the Rangers. And I guess they just haven't formally announced it. But Boch was asked about that. He said, well, we haven't talked to him yet, but I think you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Follow up question was, has he ever started an opener for you before? Boch said, yeah, I believe he has. Well, Nathan Eovaldi opened last year. Nathan Eovaldi is going to be starting. And that will be the guy who's opening against his former team in Boston, whom I guess they probably have respect for, but they don't have respect for DeGrom. Honestly, I'd probably play that to DeGrom.
Yeah.
Third game of that. Put him out there and tear him up.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what he can do. I'm looking forward to him. He's going to start Friday, right, I believe, for the Rangers.
Friday he is.
At Surprise Stadium. So we'll get a report from Jared there in that one. But, yeah, you know, I think Turnabout's fair play with those Boston guys. We're always talking about, you know, Porzingis not being available and was right on time last year in the playoffs.
Yeah,
he was hurt.
That's a good point.
You know, but this thing is huge with DeGrom because – the last time that he was healthy, you're talking about one of the most dominant stretches. And what he showed last year in September suggests he still has the athleticism to put a season like that together.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even at his best, and he's still just mowing it down. It's unbelievable to watch him work.
Is there any other option than Eovaldi, though, for opening day starter? Like, there's no mystery here.
No.
I don't think so. No. I think it's Eovaldi. 100%.
It might be fun with Bradford being a local guy, you know, and he's a good pitcher, had a good season last year. But what Eovaldi has done for this organization, what he means for the leadership of that clubhouse,
100%.
There's nothing else that really fits.
And John Gray would be the only other guy that has started before on an opening day that's on the roster, but they're not going Gray over Eovaldi. So it's going to be Eovaldi.
As much as we would like John Gray.
Would that be Sale pitching for Boston?
Probably.
So Sale versus...
Boston, I don't think it's announced either yet. Yeah. They'll wait till later on, but I think it'll be Chris Sale versus Nathan Eovaldi. Mm-hmm. Be a hell of a matchup.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun one to open up the season. But you're right. DeGrom is going to make his 2025 Cactus League debut Friday night against the Rockies. Worth noting, another Ranger will be making his debut. That would be Wyatt Langford. Wyatt, who catches up with MLB Network. And he's talking health, but also who would he comp himself to? Do you like this athlete for athlete comp for Wyatt Langford?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. You know, the plans to go on Friday. I think we got a night game Friday night, so that's the plan. You know, hopefully everything goes accordingly.
Look, I have a comp for you, okay? I wanted to ask you, who's your comp? Like, if you had to say, okay, my comp would be of myself such and such, you can go anywhere with this, who would that guy be?
Like any sport?
You can go any sport.
Shoot. I'm going to go running back.
Oh.
I don't know who, though. I don't want to do baseball.
Barkley?
No.
He's a
freak. I'll do CMC.
CMC? Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Look, I had you as more of a Jeff Conine, somebody, Mr. Marlin, somebody like that. Jersey retired, had a great career.
Yeah, I'll take that for sure.
Man.
That's a good one.
CMC. CMC is the comp for Wyatt Langford gives himself. I mean, look, both freak athletes, super fast, Yeah. I don't mind it. Kind of like what he did there. You didn't want to go with baseball. Thought that was too easy. I'm looking at the Red Sox projected 2025 starters. You got Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler both. And Walker Buehler was their big offseason addition. Both could end up being options. I do think Crochet is the one who's projected to become the 2025 opening day starter. But we'll see. Tanner Houck, also an option for them. Lucas Giolito and then Brian Bayo end up finishing off the projected rotation there for the Red Sox as they move into 2025. But I guess Walker Buehler, I mean, maybe like if you want to give your big free agent acquisition the nod on opening day, that could be an option for Boston as well. So Crochet or
Buehler. They got Buehler, huh?
Going up against Buehler going up against Evo.
I love the idea of Wyatt Langford, big year number two, though. He swung it incredibly well in June and then circled back in September and had another big month there with the 8 or 9 home runs and hit over 300, had a bunch of walks. So I think, you know, Langford struggled early after the injury early, but by the end of the season, he was trending towards all-star status.
Yeah.
Why not go ahead? And that athletic comp is decent. You know, the explosivity, the compactness, the style of the body and all that, and weighing so much at roughly 6 feet tall. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go out there, hit 30, 35 home runs as
well. Who are your comps for Wyatt Langford? 877-881-1053. Teodo stole the show, no question about it. We talked with Jared about him. He's like, okay, maybe he ends up being your closer this year. He was phenomenal today against the Reds in the ninth inning. Struck out the side, reached 99.8 miles per hour with the sinker, had four swing and misses with the slider. That's the second time he's come in a safe situation, done a great job, said Bruce Bochy. So at 24 years old, this guy's certainly making a push for maybe filling that closer role. High leverage arms today, Luke Jackson. Our buddy also had himself a nice outing today. Second tour of duty with the Rangers, struck out 5 of the 7 batters he has faced so far in the Cactus League. So shout out to Luke Jackson at 33 years old. He's also among the clubhouse leader, 19 career saves. He could be an option there. And Leody Taveras continues to hit the ball really well. Two hard hits today, over 104 mile per hour single in the first inning, and then a 98.2 mile per hour single in the fifth. He also correctly called for one of those ABS reviews off a called strike that was overturned to ball 4, so he drew himself a walk. So, hey, Leody, I know we mentioned, like, had discussions. Does he end up being a guy that you trade? Right now, even if he's on the roster, looks like he's seeing the ball really well, at least to start spring training. We'll see if that carries over to meaningful games, but good sign for Leody, who we know is a pretty darn good defender. It's always just been Jekyll and Hyde with the bat, but he's swinging the stick really, really good right now. A lot of Mike Trout comps coming in.
Yeah, you know, I was going to go with another great outfielder with speed. That would be Brian Jordan, most notably with your Atlanta Braves, but had a year with the Rangers.
Played with the Falcons.
Cardinals, yes, safety. He was an NFL guy.
He was safety, yeah.
5'11", probably 220
great
pounds.
Great athlete, yeah.
Bo Jackson, Lenny Dykstra from the Phillies being texted in.
Dykstra, smaller guy?
Yeah, but buff.
His dimensions were.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, smaller,
I think
but compact.
Super tall. Yeah, I think.
But I why do I think of
Wyatt's 6'1", 220.
Yeah.
But so how tall was Lenny?
I would say 5'10".
Yeah.
Super tiny dude?
Tough. They call him Nails?
Yeah.
Is that his nickname? Yeah.
Yeah, amongst other things.
Yeah,
and he was an absolute mess.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was.
5'10", 160.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I could see it, though, the neck.
Yeah, yeah, and amongst other things there with Lenny Dykstra, he was, you know, quite an entertaining ball player.
Speed on the bases, no doubt. Okay, so we talked Roky Sasaki making his debut. He did. Showed off elite velocity. Swing and miss splitter in his spring debut. Was hitting 98 miles per hour on the old radar gun there. Struck out 5 of the 13 batters that he faced. 46 pitches for Sasaki. Looked really, really good. And I think that at 23 years old, this is another dude that can come in, compete for Rookie of the Year there. Dodgers got themselves another stud, it looks like, as he came in after Yoshinobu Yamamoto had himself a good 5 innings before Sasaki came on in replace of him. So, hey, I mean, another Japanese phenom. Looks like he's going to enter Major League Baseball, and we'll get to see him in that opening Tokyo series, how he ends up faring there. Now, we talked Nathan Eovaldi. He's actually trying to implement a new pitch right now into his arsenal as he's been stretched out a little bit. he was discussing, hey, what are you trying to do in terms of some pitches and with Kyle Higashioka? If he's able to implement another pitch to take him to the next level, this is kind of scary to think about for Nathan Eovaldi. So right now he's got five pitches. He's like, let's add another one. I feel like the pitches that are easiest for me to learn are the ones that are most similar to the fastball, right? The splitter, he had a little wider grip, but I'm throwing it like a fastball. The cutter, same thing, two seam. I started working on it, and I didn't want a pitch that's going down in the righties. I want a pitch that's going to be almost like a two seam runner. Use it more at the top part of the zone. Make them worry about that. So you end up with another nasty Nate Eovaldi pitch here.
You
so
got to be kidding
go
me.
Go to six. I mean, dude, how old is Nate now? 33, 34? And he's still working on the repertoire?
35.
35?
Yeah.
My gosh. It's amazing.
Best pitching selection for him since probably Yu Darvish, who had like seven or eight pitches.
Yeah, man, you did.
That's crazy. You know, these guys' ability to learn new pitches between seasons and then deploy them at an expert level, it's just superhuman.
Especially if you've been there, done that. You know, like you've won a couple of World Series. I know my stuff that I have works and it's really good, but you're not ever stopping at trying to make the craft even better.
What makes him one of the greats?
All right, shout out to Jim Bowden of The Athletic. So yesterday we had David Schoenfield. he put out the Rangers offseason report card. It was a C-, and I was like, David, screw you. All right, you're a Seattle Mariners homer. This is definitely because you're bitter at the Rangers for being better than the Mariners. Bowden gives the Rangers a B+.
There you go.
I think this is overall better. Okay, like we've gone through
Found
the list
former
of
former general manager Alexis.
Yeah, we got best movie said tie between the trade for Berger signing a Jock Peterson. Last year, that duo combined for 52 homers. That's going to significantly lengthen the Rangers lineup. Under the radar move. Acquisition of lefty reliever Robert Garcia. I think Rangers pitching coach Mike Maddux will be able to improve his delivery and thus his command and control. What helped or hurt their grade? Rangers spent wisely this offseason. That, along with the power bats they acquired, factored into their strong grade. And the storyline to watch, the returns of players who were injured last season, from DeGrom to Bradford to Young to Evan Carter. If this club can stay healthy, I think it'll win the AL West, thanks to the most potent lineup in the division by far. Season prediction, AL West champs.
It's my prediction, Bullchuck.
I mean, I'm predicting American League champs, baby.
Yeah, at least, you know, or wild card and we'll just see. We'll unbeatable see on the road in the postseason. You know, whatever works for him.
Make it happen.
Thank you, buddy. Zach Wolchuk there, your former Rangers pre- and post-game show host and baseball expert here in the G-Bag Nation. Every night, 6 o'clock, he delivers and around the bases for you. A shocking visual of what the Mavericks have been through since Christmas. We'll get you that, and we'll talk about the other big basketball storylines of the night coming up next year in the nation.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Quite a historic day in the world of sports. Zach Martin retirement. You got so much going on here with the Mavericks and the fallout from there. Zach Wolchuk has a visualization of what we've been experiencing here over, the last 8 or 9 weeks since Christmas. It's unbelievable. Segment here of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. Only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Zach Martin on Dak Prescott here with his goodbye press conference today. Says, last but not least, Dak, just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know I've told you this before, Dak, but you're the kind of person and leader I aspire to be like in my own life. I'll miss having your back out there, buddy, but our bond goes well beyond football. Again, I know there's been a lot of Dak Prescott criticism, but there's a Hall of Famer right there tipping his cap to him saying, I aspire to be you, you know, on and off the field. That's, you know, maybe no better compliment could be paid to the player. And again, I'll continue to say Dak Prescott is my favorite person to pull for in all of football. We just have to be able to have an objective and honest conversation about what kind of supporting cast he would need in order to deliver a Super Bowl. Okay, a hockey note, Tom Gilardi today saying we're pretty sure Haskinen not going to play any regular season games, projecting possibly sometime in the first round, still up in the air. Wolchuk, we have less than 48 hours till the NHL trade deadline. Are you depending on the rookie Leon Bischel? Are you looking to go somewhere else here? Do they need to make a move?
I mean, Leon Bischel, to get him back was huge, especially last night. I mean, he's going to end up having to be a massive factor. I wonder, can Jim Neal pull something off? They know more than we do, like when it comes to Miro. The hope is he's ready to go for the postseason. If they don't have Miro, the dreams of winning a Stanley Cup, I think, take a massive, massive hit. He's without question your best player, in my opinion. But maybe. I mean, I'm still holding that hope they can get another big defenseman to help out there.
I mean, probably in the first round, that sounds terrifying, but you don't want to move any more first-round picks. This is one of the best drafting teams in all of hockey. They already gave up their 2025 first-rounder. They do have $4.5 million in cap space, so maybe they could figure something out. We'll be all over that story here through tomorrow and into Friday there with the trade deadline. DK Metcalf asking out of Seattle. Chargers being reported as a possible landing spot for him. I just look at all of these like, when have we ever seen the Cowboys go for the two paid wide receiver model? They had it there for 1 year, kind of, with Gallup and Amari Cooper. But, you know, even with Michael Irvin, they never paid Alvin Harper. With Dez Bryant, they never went out and found a secondary guy. Just look at the way they carve up the salary cap with the Jones family. I think two big time wide receivers getting paid at the same time just is not amongst the things that they really even consider. I'm going to talk about things the Mavs have to consider doing as soon as possible. But before we get there, Wolchek has a recap of the really hell on earth that basketball fans in DFW have been forced to soldier through.
This could be the worst 10-week stretch in the history of sports for any team. We go to Christmas Day. Luka injures his calf in the last game he would end up ever playing for the Dallas Mavericks. January 23rd, Derek Lively, stress fracture in his foot. Goes to February 1st, a day I think we'll never forget. Luka Doncic gets traded. Then on February 4th, Mavs aren't done. They trade Quentin Grimes to the Sixers for Caleb Martin, who's also still yet to suit up and play again for the Dallas Mavericks. Meanwhile, Quentin Grimes has had 40-plus burgers for the Sixers since that trade. February 8th, what a great debut it was for 2.5 quarters of Anthony Davis. Monster game. Then he suffered an adductor injury.
Three quarters.
1 day later, Mavs fans ejected for saying "Fire Nico" on the Jumbotron. 2 days later, Daniel Gafford sprains his knee.
That's where we were really accelerating to a personal hell on basketball earth.
Rough.
Yeah.
Then February 25th, last Tuesday, Luka dropping a triple-double in the Lakers' win over the Mavs, his first game against the former team. I mentioned Quentin Grimes. Well, March 1st, he scored 44 points for the Sixers. March 3rd, Mavs announced an 8.6% price increase for season ticket holders.
Surreal.
And on that same night, Kyrie tears his ACL.
My goodness.
Absolutely brutal stretch in Maverick in sports history
Oh, the humanity.
It's like, I don't even recognize what team we're watching right now. And honestly, the Fire Nico stuff, you know what? Nico, you've made your bet. What the hell are you going to do to fix this now? Right?
Nothing.
What's going on? What's your giant plan here? Anthony Davis was your boo. Let's go ahead and figure it out. What you going to do now? You going to go get Kevin Durant in the offseason? How's that working out anytime Kevin Durant's not joining the Golden State Warriors? Not good.
Yeah, they have Booker, Durant, and Bradley Beal and can't even get above 500.
Sucks, man.
I don't know what Durant can do for
you. Just an absolute hell. I thought we were a clay away. Now he's gone and nuked the whole damn thing.
Clay just in there by himself now, just looking around like, damn, bro.
Clay's like Will Smith in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, what the hell happened?
Hey, I'm seeing memes. Do we put the Jalen Brunson stuff on Nico as well?
Yeah.
God, dog it.
Yeah.
Although Donnie and Mark, you know, their fingerprints are on that one as well.
They screwed the contract.
But he could have come in and saved it if he had recognized it. I think this really comes down to, you know, how do you move on from Nico as quickly as possible? Because his personal relationships with Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, he bet on Kyrie instead of Luka. You know he's going to bet on Kyrie. You know he's going to bet on Anthony Davis because he needs those things to have a good ending on them for him to be proven right. And I think what we've seen is his friendships blinded him from making the easy decision, which was to keep Luka, who had 30 and 15 last night, or was it 33 and 15? What else might he not be able to see, I think, is the concerning thing right now. So for Dumont, for the Adelson family, for Rick Welts, the CEO over there, you need somebody who's going to put this thing together you know, the best he can. And if we get to the trade deadline sputtering, you need a guy ready to blow it up and get picks. So I would look at, okay, going into this offseason, new GM, do the best you can, assuming Kyrie Irving is going to come back around Thanksgiving or the new year or sometime before the NBA trade deadline. And we'll see. Does this look like what we envisioned and what took place for three quarters against the Houston Rockets, even without Derek Lively? It could be the greatest defensive team we've ever seen. So that's why calls of today of, hey, Anthony Davis shouldn't play another game for the Mavericks. It should be three quarters and done. I can't get with that because what we saw on that, what was that, a Saturday or Sunday? That was a Saturday afternoon against the Houston Rockets, the 2 o'clock start, was a team that could steamroll the Western Conference. You don't want to give up on that before you have certainty. And you don't want to give up on that too late when you couldn't trade Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, and whoever else you might want to be interested in trading. So, you know, to me, it's clear. Try to make a contender. If it's not there, you have to be ready. And if I'm Dumont or the CEO or whoever, hopefully there's somebody over there now in leadership capacity with enough experience in cojones to say we have to get rid of Nico. Kevin O'Connor, longtime NBA reporter, made a great video about that today. It went viral. Mavericks should fire Nico Harrison today, says, quote, "This injury is an opportunity for him to gain the respect and trust of Mavs fans by admitting the grave mistake, because this is all Nico Harrison's fault, all of it." I don't know if it's something they're considering, but if they aren't, then we're more screwed than we could possibly imagine. The worst thing that can happen in sports is when you get a new ownership group in and they want to put their fingerprints on the operation. They want to be, you know, moving and shaking because it's fun. I mean, you're making huge trades like it's a fantasy team, but way too often, owners are too inexperienced to know the giant mistake that they're making. That's where we find ourselves right now. What do you think about that, Brian? That you brought that up earlier, the idea of trading Anthony Davis now, to me,
yeah.
it could feel like the all hell is broken loose. And right now we're closer to like what the Brooklyn Nets had imagined or what the Philadelphia 76ers are now. But things can change quickly in the NBA. I want to give it one more honest chance because I don't think they're losing an opportunity to trade AD if they play a half season with him.
That's kind of where I was following some people. Like, was it Tim Bontemps?
Tim Bontemps, yeah. Bontemps. From ESPN.
He was like, listen, just go ahead and move on from him now. You know, just go ahead and move on from Anthony Davis and get what you get. You know, and he played one game and just move on from him. And now I don't know. I'm to the point where I'm one of these guys that would like to see everybody be healthy and try and play and see how it looks.
Yeah.
Even though I know without Luka, without...
Right now it seems ill-fated, like nothing good can happen. But just, next year will be fresh.
That's what I'm saying. If they go out and just, you know, and none of these guys play and they tank it and all that, and I'll feel like, okay, that was completely a wasted year. But, you know, it still might be a wasted year. I don't know. Next year might be a wasted year too, if without Luka, without Kyrie, you know, without the opportunity to make your team any better. You've talked about, you know, picks being gone, stuff like that. I don't know. I just there's a side of me that would just, if they could get all their bigs back, even with no point guard, I'd like to see how that looks.
Yeah, I think you'd have to go into free agency or the trade market and find another point guard with Kyrie Irving out.
Yeah.
Maybe Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, you'd have to remain competitive up until Kyrie Irving comes back. I don't know if Fred VanVleet's a good compliment to Kyrie when you get healthy. But I think the only downside to that would be, what if Anthony Davis has a catastrophic injury and he's untradeable next year? That would be the advantage of deciding to move on now. But it's very complicated. I do think it has to start with Nico, though, because you got to start rebuilding your relationship with the fan base. Mm. Maybe this ownership group doesn't understand that it's severed. You know, being a Las Vegas group, not being North Texans,
man,
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it's repairable.
Could you honestly just move on from AD after? I think the only way you would trade him is if they fired Nico. Nico's not going to trade AD.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He's just,
you got to have him out of here so you could trade AD if that's what you want to do.
Mean, if a new general manager would come in here and say, listen, the only way we can fix this is if we trade this, that, and the other. That would be, but if you, I don't see Nico doing that. I just don't. But
I want to know what that assistant Dennis Lindsay thinks.
You on that. Yeah,
because we need somebody that understands what's going on here, the strengths and weaknesses of the team, and the willingness to move on from this and blow it up. I couldn't imagine Nico would be willing to next year, but you know that's the situation they find themselves in now, because you don't want to go with AD and Kyrie into their mid-30s when their trade value is nothing. You need to, when this thing has run its course, exchange them for first-round picks and draft capital, young players that you could use to start the rebuild. Well, Chuck, you just said something a minute ago, though. You don't think this is repairable ever. Is this the end of the Mavericks for the foreseeable future?
Unless they're able to find another player comparable to Luka, or they fire Nico and they somehow are able to bring Luka back in free agency. He says, you know what? Dallas is my home. I didn't want to leave in the first place, and that bleep hole ain't here anymore. I'll come back home. I mean, we're talking about possibly moving on from Anthony Davis a month after you traded for him, and people were trying to justify that trade in the moment. They're going to be searching for the next decade trying to find their next Luka. They had him, and they let him walk. And it's going to be very hard for the fan base to ever forgive it, especially the way that this is trending. Like, it would have been palatable if this didn't end up just crumbling like it is right now.
Yeah.
Where AD's hurt, Kyrie's hurt, Lively's out, Gafford's out. Now, who knows what version of Kyrie you have next year? And is Anthony Davis ever going to be healthy as a Maverick? I don't know. That's a great question. He had 2 years in L.A. That might have just been fool's gold.
Yeah. If he's healthy next year and you feel like you could win the championship, I think you ride it out because that's one of the only ways that you could at least salvage something out of this deal. The only other thing would be Luka taking such a turn for the worse in his career that it kind of makes fans be like, oh, now I see why he had this problem and that problem going on that people were protecting him from. But in lieu of any one of those things, I think you're right. Forever is a stretch, but at least 5 or 6 years of irrelevancy where that's it bad. Totally has to cleanse the palate and then give fans a chance to be reborn as basketball fans in another generation, essentially. It really is historic how bad this thing has gone. At least we got some comic relief out of it.
You're going to get a 30 for 30 or something out of this.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Somebody's going to do something on this one. This is crazy.
Yeah, and maybe when Nico is gone, you know, in his memoirs or whatever, he would feel free to, you know, share more candidly his reasoning behind this.
I was drunk on that gin.
Yeah. There was a story today where like the relationship between Luka and Nico was so severed that Kyrie Irving was actually like a go-between.
Mediating.
He was the grown up in the room.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how you would let a relationship get that bad with a superstar player, but NBA Centel has struck again, the hottest parody news account on Twitter. Pat McAfee discussing the recent tweet that an anonymous NBA executive believed Nico has a humiliation kink after trading Luka to the Lakers, claiming there was no other logical explanation for the move. Here's the Pat McAfee Show.
Boy, Mavericks fans hate this guy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people around the NBA go, this guy might be the dumbest guy in the history. I think some people said he actually might have a fetish for being humiliated.
Yeah, sure.
That is why he made this decision. I mean, that's how far it went with this general manager for the Dallas Mavericks.
Got him. NBA Centel. You got to look because it looks really accurate to the NBA Central Twitter account, which is one of the top news sites there on Twitter. FIFA has announced Dallas has been selected as the official media hub for World Cup 2026. This is going to be the place to be. And the expected bid by the U.S. and Mexico to host the 2031 Women's World Cup can face only a rival bid from Africa. So they are one of the two finalists for the 2031 Women's World Cup. And your friends from Saudi Arabia getting in the fight game, Brian.
Yeah.
They're teaming up with TKO, which is a joint venture already with UFC and
WWE. I saw them signing the papers today,
These guys know how to do TV incredibly well, and they're planning their first boxing event in 2026. They plan to invest in academies and combines to identify and develop talent from around the world. You know, obviously they're going to bring a lot of arena production and television production to the scene there, but the boxing scene has been so disorganized, it's been fragmented, it's siloed. I don't know exactly what point you'd put to it, but they have a shot of having
corrupted.
Yeah, I mean, Saudi Arabia and their wealth has an opportunity to pay the fighters enough maybe to come together under one umbrella and for the first time in my lifetime have some real organization.
Yeah, hopefully
the
money's there for the fighters. That would be really important. I think it would make it a lot better if that was the case.
It would, yeah. And you know, if you had like a real bracket and matches being made, not like promoters picking who the most convenient fighter for my time is. And that might be a shock for the boxing culture to go out of having sort of control of your own schedule to know you're going to fight this guy next and we're going to, you know, determine a real pecking order and a, you know, a way to
is that
to,
Prince Alasheikh? I believe putting that together, is it him and Dana White putting that together?
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to fix boxing. They're going to make boxing great again.
Yeah, and that I would not have that on my bingo card for Dana White to be the guy that pull that off and empower the fighters because he has been a notorious cheapskate.
Very
not into that in the UFC, that's for sure.
Yeah, but maybe
she got that money.
Yeah, she's got the money. He doesn't have to spend his own money on
Dana doesn't have to pay for it, then it's cool.
Okay, we got Crosstalk with the Fan After Dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking for you here next in the Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Mavs are looking at just 8 players for tomorrow's game against the Bucks. Could be the worst NBA performance of all time as a Fan After Dark gets set now Fred and Blake joining us here in studio, 7 to 11. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
I got bad news for you, Dawson. Not only is that game going to happen against the Bucks, it's going to happen in about 12 minutes. So don't have to even wait till tomorrow for the eight guys. So more guys inactive rather than active. Take all the unders on Bucks starters because I doubt they'll play the second half.
Dinwiddie, Christie, Thompson, Edwards, Powell, Marshall, Prosper, Brandon Williams. I don't even know how you try to make an entertaining product out of that. You might just tune in for the low light reel, Davis.
That's about it. I mean, Kai Jones comes in, plays his ass off, and then gets hurt. I mean, if that's not apropos for about how the season's gone, I don't know what is.
What do you guys have planned for the show tonight?
Well, I mean, Jerry, for as much as we got excited that, you know, hey, they were going to be selectively aggressive, and then Jerry comes out today and says, no, we're not going to fill any needs via free agency. I hope that's just him just doing Jerry-type things, that they are going to do something. I mean, I think we all agree they're not going to go crazy and, you know, spend any kind of ridiculous money, but, you know, second-tier, third-tier free agents to, you know, fill a few spots. Yeah. We'd like to think they're going to do something along those lines, right? But, hey, time will tell. And then, of course, obviously a flurry of activity today. Blake and I will look at not only just talking about kind of what happened today in the NFL, but is there anybody that within that price range? I think I heard you say something about Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I asked about that.
You know, is that somebody that we could see the Cowboys looking at? You know, Devontae Adams, we touched on him a little bit yesterday. He had some audio that he talked about CeeDee Lamb. And again, whether or not that would be something that would be feasible as far as from a financial standpoint. But we'll get into all that. And then, of course, haikus later on the program as well.
Love a good haiku night here with the fan after dark. Yeah, I do feel like maybe it might have been semantics with Jerry. Like, we're not going to be aggressive going after big players, but you don't free up all that cap space just to sit there and look at it. They're going to spend a significant chunk of money here over the next day, a week or so.
What if some of that money is to use to sign Tyler Smith, your all-pro left guard, to a contract extension, locking up Brandon Aubrey? I don't know what they're going to do with that money. I'd love to give the fans false hope and say they're going to go sign X player and Y player and make this team better on paper and all these great things. But maybe the non-sexy thing that they're going to do is locking up some of these guys into longer contracts like a Tyler Smith, which I think is not a bad idea, getting ahead of that contract and not having a situation like you've had with all your other star players.
And Deron Bland, if you bring back Jordan Lewis and Chauncey Golston and Tank and Rico, I think at this point, considering where we were at the end of the year with expectations and
all those guys, you can only bring back two. Who would you want? The four guys you just named.
I want Tank. And I want Jordan Lewis.
I think I'm Rico and Jordan. Jordan Lewis is 1A for me. I think that is the most important guy you still haven't signed. And the guy after that for me is Rico. I think then you don't have to be as needy for running back. I still want a running back in the first 2-3 rounds. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I think the leadership is spoken for. But I feel like the Cowboys might be okay with DeMarcus Lawrence. Maybe I'm wrong. Sam Williams, who was the guy they drafted that got hurt last year?
Marshawn Nealon.
Micah stepped up as a leader. So I could be completely wrong on that, but I feel like the Cowboys might be okay if they were to let go of Tank because he's going to be expensive still.
Well, and that's the other thing is we were looking at market values is they had him at, 2 years, $24 million? Yeah. I mean, you feel comfortable giving a guy, going into his, 33?
Who was just hurt.
Year, who was just missed an entire season. I mean, you really want to give him $12 million?
No, you really don't.
You know, I mean, and I think with the running back group, you can get Daddle for $2-3 million.
If you were to tell me, and this is a pipe dream, but if you tell me I could spend $12-13 million on a player, like I would go out and get Adams,
Devontae receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of paying Tank, I would go pay Adams that money and do that. But I think the next player they're going to sign is going to be Bland.
Okay.
We talk about Mike
before Parsons, think, as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case.
Which is kind of surprising, but I think that the plan would be maybe to move on from Diggs.
I was going
to
say, when you do the Bland deals, just tell Diggs' people, hey, we're not.
Just don't know when Diggs is going to be available.
What's his contract situation?
They have an out after this year as long as they don't go ahead and push any money.
Flip it.
Yeah, so if they if they restructure, then that probably means maybe Diggs is in the plans.
But if nothing is touched with Diggs' contract, after this full season is done, next offseason, you could get out.
They could get out.
Okay.
They could get out.
And, of course, you can't move him because of the injury, so you're kind of just stuck with him.
He's missed
that
about 75% of your games.
I mean, it's a bummer because before he got hurt,
not this year, but the year before. I mean, he was playing phenomenal football.
Last couple of years, yeah.
He really was.
And I heard you guys talking about this. If Kalen Carson was playing better, you feel a lot better about it. But right now,
I absolutely feel better about that.
I mean, we can do hypotheticals all we want, but right now you have Carson, Diggs, and Bland. And Bland's probably not going to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Carson's not going to be ready to like.
You mean Diggs isn't going
to
be healthy.
Diggs, excuse me. Yeah. Diggs probably isn't going to be healthy to start the season. Carson, I don't think either of us feel comfortable with putting him at your starting opposite corner outside of Bland. So what, do you have one good corner who's healthy and ready starting week one?
That's why I think a corner's in play at 12.
Like, no one's really talked about that. But
No. I'm on 17 podcasts to talk about it.
Well, no, Broadus, I'm just saying the general public, when you see the mocks, how many times do we see a corner being drafted by the Cowboys?
Yeah, not a lot.
Never?
Not a lot.
And it's like you have one good corner going into week one. I mean, we can play hypotheticals all day long. Jordan Lewis is back, and Diggs is ready, and Carson's better. But that stuff hasn't shown to be true yet.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to hope that Kalen Carson develops, just like they're hoping Tyler Guyton.
You taking Jade at 12 if he's there?
I don't think would. I think they would take Will Johnson over Jade. I would take Jade Barron and not Flinch.
I have Barron in the first. I have Johnson in the second.
Okay.
That's how I'd look at it. But my seconds, you know, when you have like 14, 15 first round grades, player 16, player 17, player 18 is going to be a second round grade on your board, but they're going to get picked in the first round.
Yeah.
I saw a mock draft today that had Jackson Dart at 3.
Dude, that was Charles, for the Giants. That was
Charles Davis.
Charles Davis.
I mean, that works in the Cowboys' favor if quarterbacks and running backs and receivers just start getting taken early and all of a sudden a great player slips to you at 12.
You know, it sounds like the running back that people don't like right now is our guy from Iowa, Caleb Johnson.
Yeah. That 4.6 didn't help.
Yeah, that might be the guy that Dallas might be at 44. He might be the guy
that dude's faster than Hampton on tape.
Yeah.
Well, and your guy Lance said that the problem was too is he said, you know, the holes he had were huge. Because he's not going to have those kind of holes, and he had a slow opening 10 yards. So,
well, thank you, gentlemen. Have a great night.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control, and Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Thanks to Woolchuck and Broadus. Chiafalo will return tomorrow, and you can join all of us, Lucius, all five of us here tomorrow at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. And I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going on with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's Almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.